What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lonzo hath arisen and chosen violence this glorious AM. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is live on a Monday. The first full week that we have had to work in like a while, dude. In like a while.
There's a good thing about it, though. Wall-to-wall football starting Thursday. Major football. Playoffs in both sports.
Yay!
So we got that. But that also means that soon that'll be over.
Boo! That's less exciting than the first thing you said. I prefer to lean on the first thing you said if we're...
Yeah, we got another, month? We're good. Maybe a month and a half?
I prefer not to think about that. I got sad about that over the weekend, to be honest. I woke up on Saturday morning. And I had my, my traditional Saturday. I get up, start getting ready for Bet for the Cycle every Saturday from noon to four on the BetQL Network. Nothing like starting off a show by hyping the other show that I'm on. Started prepping for that show, and by prepping for that show, I mean laying in bed in my boxers until the last possible minute to get up and get going. And about 10:45. The wife was up. She was doing her thing. About 10:45.
Wait, you're still in the bed at 10:45?
Oh, on Saturdays? Hell yeah. Listen, as early as we have to get up each and every day from Monday through Friday to be here, I'm in this building around 4:45 in the a.m. As early as I've got to get up to be here by 4:45, when I don't have to get out of the bed, yeah, I stay until the last possible minute.
What time do you go to bed, though?
On Friday nights? Question mark.
Exactly. So you're probably getting
TBD.
So you're probably getting less sleep.
No, I definitely
when you think
am not.
You're sleeping late.
No, because even here's the thing.
So I get up at around eight, and that's like 4 hours after what I normally get up. That's sleeping in to me.
I usually on Fridays, and it depends. It's obviously case by case. There are nights that you know the boys fire up a little EA Sports NHL 2025 and. Burn up the ice a little bit, or perhaps we decide to throw on as the adults that we are a little bit of Rocket League because, you know, simple games allow you to just sit there and talk bleep to your friends, whatever we're doing. Or like once in a blue moon, the wife will come out and be like, take me out. Bet, let's go. But like most Friday nights, I'm usually crashed out by like 2. And then I'll get up at, you know, 11 the next morning. So I got up on Saturday, started prepping for Bet for the Cycle. Look at the rundown Double D sends over and start putting my answers together to his questions and all that good stuff. And on Saturday morning, as I was prepping for the show, about 11:30, I reached over and I grabbed the TV remote and I pointed it at the TV in the bedroom. And I said, let's turn on game day. And then I went, sad.
There was probably like a college basketball game day on.
I watched a lot of college basketball. Yeah, this I watched Florida, Kentucky. About 1,000 points scored in that one. That was good.
So you
watched a little Kansas last night. That team's okay.
College basketball is going to be like the NBA and score like in the 130s.
No. Okay. Florida and Kentucky are both really good. That was Florida's first loss, by the way. And it took Kentucky like 109 points to put it on them. That's a good team, Florida.
That's a lot for a college game.
It is. The over-under in that game was like 180-something. It was like 180-something, which is remarkably high for a college game. And they went over it by like 20-some-odd points. It was a no-sweat bet if you're into that sort of thing. It was good. It was good. Watched a little Kansas yesterday. Penn State got upset yesterday. That's a big upset out in the BIG 1-0. So, yeah, a lot of college basketball. And this is a wonderful time of the year for one Rob Brown, because I can begin to turn my limited attention over towards college basketball without missing out on the footballs. I would, like, during the early portion, the holiday tournaments and all that, it's kind of tough to make enough space for college basketball because there's so much football on. And at the end of the day, until you get to like week 17 of the NFL, until you get to like week 14, 15 of college football, every game's important. Every game matters. Even if the team not playing in it is important, or their result isn't important, even if that's the case, you know, you have tiebreaker scenarios that came into play. You have strength of schedule rankings that could have an impact on what happens to Hoomst after the season comes to its conclusion. Every game matters. And daddy ain't dumb. I am aware that whether we like it or not, and sometimes I don't, if we're keeping it a buck betwixt each other, even if I don't like it, at the end of the day, this is obviously football country. So I have to pay attention to everything in the landscape of college football and the NFL, which means that early in the season, I don't really have the mental space to really start deep diving college basketball when there's 300-some-odd teams that are playing. It makes it a little tough. Now we've kind of hit the point of the season. We got, what, 6 NFL games coming up this weekend? Now, all of them matter. Got to be plugged into all of them. But we got 6 NFL games. We have 3 college football games left. 2 semis and a natty that we got to get through. But there's only 3 left. Now I can start working some hardball into the rotation. And for me...
You said hardball, not hardball.
Correct.
Okay, all right.
Well, I mean, we do have to work some hardball into the conversation because the Chargers are going dancing. And I think that that's impressive.
He's not the only hardball. Yeah, that's
enough. Both Harbaughs. That's right. Jimmy and Johnny are both going dancing. 2 Harbaughs to talk about. But no, some hard wood is what I should have said. Some basketball, some round ball, some John Tesh ball coming up on the show. So we're going to start getting that in here. John Blau of the Post and Courier coming up at 8:40 this morning. We'll talk to him about a little Clemson basketball. We'll talk about Clemson football, too, because it is now official that Wes Goodwin will not be returning to his post. He is not necessarily fired nor departing Clemson yet.
Is he just been informed, moving up to a place in the administration or one of those things?
The AD's office. No, it doesn't. We don't know what he's going to be doing. It's just been said that he has been informed that he will not be returning in the capacity of defensive coordinator. So my understanding is they have not canned him, but they just told him he's not going to be the DC next year, which I have to assume means that they are likely setting him up, hey, man, if you want to go back to being a defensive analyst or you want to go back to being a, you know, a position coach or whatever. Like, I think that's Dabo's way of moving on from a Dabo guy, but not firing him, right? Like, it's that old, I'm not firing you. If you leave, it's your choice. You're just not doing that job anymore. Which, again, I get. Like, I appreciate him giving the out. Because if we're being honest, short of moving down a couple of levels, Wes Goodwin doesn't likely have a lot of options at the D1 level. All right? Clemson's defense was bad this year. It was bad last year. It's really been it was okay his first year, but that was, you know, likely the Brent Venables hang-ons. 2 years later got worse. 3 years later got progressively worse during his entire tenure. It was getting worse by the year. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of D1 Power 5 programs lined up to hire Wes Goodwin. I think this is effectively a way for Dabo to say, you can keep coaching if you would like to. You're just not going to be the dude wearing the headset when they have the football. Which I appreciate that. So we'll talk about that with John Blau coming up at 8:40 this morning. We have got, obviously, a lot of NFL. What a barn burner we had last night between the Vikings and the Lions, right? Guys, I'm going to tell you, I had a pretty good year as far as my going into the season predictions and projections and prognostications. Got Jaden Daniels right. Got Josh Allen as the MVP right. Got a lot right. I got some stuff wrong, too. And I do believe, as I've said many, many times, to me, and very few other hosts, it seems like, to me, accountability matters in this industry. Late last night, I was on Twitter because I doom scroll regularly. It's my favorite thing is to go look at the world and how it's on fire.
Okay, all right. I needed to explain doom scroll. To
yeah, doom scroll is when yeah. you pop on social media and you just scroll down, watching the world burn through your phone screen. That's all it is. So I was doom scrolling last night and enjoying a little football. Well,
would that be what I'm doing now as I'm looking at all the allegations of Skip Bayless yes. and Joy Taylor and yes. all that kind of... No, it's sports.
That's exactly what
it's
you're doing.
It's sports in a way.
It's sports adjacent. It's our favorite terminology. It's sports adjacent. So yesterday, I got randomly hit with a notification on Twitter. And that notification on Twitter was that somebody posted like a laughing face emoji on a video of a show that I hosted on BetMGM about week 3 or 4 of the regular season.
Wait. So someone put a laughing emoji and you get alerted to it?
Yeah.
Okay. And
yeah, I have all my notifications on.
And you immediately went, okay, who did this?
No,
okay,
not who did this. It was what did they just like? Because the tweet.
You are wearing the dark sunglasses and everything. And it's.
This tweet was from You Better You Bet, which is a show on the BetQL network. It airs middays. And they call me to fill in.
The guy with the real deep.
This is Nick Costos.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. Nick's a dog, by the way. He's a dude. I love Nick. He's a really... Nick's that guy...
How would you describe... Gravelly. I guess
Gravelly's good.
Gravelly, yeah.
Nick's a dude that on the air, you're like, oh, man, this guy kind of sucks. This guy's kind of a hole a little bit. But then you talk to him off the air, and you're like, this dude's a teddy bear. He's like Lonzo. Big, intimidating presence on the air. Absolutely teddy bear and wants to hug everybody off it. Like, it's the same vibe. So, back on August 21st of last year, I got the call from the bullpen to step in and host the Tom Gully Show. Just checked in Twitter and said, 80s cover band, I'm out. Well, I'm sorry, Tom Gully Show, that you don't like artistry and great music. That's a you problem, not a me problem, bud. Feel free to hang out. You're welcome to the stream.
Does he know that you're in the 80s cover band?
I don't care. It's your loss either way, pal. You are missing out on a knower of ball because he happens to like Brett Michaels and Poison. That's a you problem.
Could have just been cracking on my hair.
That's also true.
That could be what it is.
So August 21st, 2004, I was hosting a show called You Better You Bet along with a gentleman by the name of Jeremy Kahn. Jeremy Kahn is a syndicated host. He has moved up to the Infinity Sports Net now. Good dude. And we were having a conversation that sounded like this.
But this Denver,
bro. I could hear it. Let me get that fixed up. Here we go. Jeremy Kahn and I were having a conversation that sounded like this. So anyway, the Denver Broncos are in the playoffs.
Was that a 16-year-old Rob Brown?
So anyway, Sean Payton and Bo Nix are in the playoffs. Whoops. Whoops. Hey, accountability. I want you to know, not only did I go back and own that, I self-reported to Old Takes Exposed. I self-reported myself to Freezing Cold Takes. Because I got hammered on that.
That's not how that works, man. Because if they notice you, then you're somebody. If they so you're just trying to get
them to... No. This is not a work. This is 100% because you've heard me say 1,000 times, accountability matters. And I blew this one.
So you're making
it sound
like...
I got Josh Allen right. I got Jaden Daniels right. I got the Jets right.
Those guys don't just automatically find those that people self-report all the time.
Oh, people self-report all the time.
Wow.
I think Mel Kiper Jr. has self-reported before. It's become a thing in the industry to self-report. If you don't know what we're talking about, if you're not chronically online like the rest of us nerds, on Twitter, there is an account entitled Freezing Cold Takes. Their handle is at Old Takes Exposed. And effectively what they do is they go around the internet and they find when sports talking heads... say dumb things, like when Adam Koffler tweeted out back on, April 27th of 2023, Jahmyr Gibbs is the stone-cold worst pick. The Lions could have made it 12, but whatever, Dan Campbell. Anyway, Jahmyr Gibbs had 4 touchdowns last night.
A former host on these stations lives there, so.
Or when Pro Football Network asked on August 14th of last year, 7 days before I went after Peyton and Bo Nix there, who wins the race for the number one pick? And their number one belief was the Denver Broncos. So I wasn't alone in that. They got Albert Breer. When Adam Schefter on January 12th of last year, almost a year ago, reported that Gerard Mayo is their next head coach, and Albert Breer responded simply, the right move. Or when James Merrilott said, in 2025, Sean Payton is going to be on the Fox set while some sucker is stuck with Bo Nix and Russell Wilson dead cap. Wow, what a terrible decision. Again, Bo Nix and the... And Sean Payton and the Broncos are in the playoffs. The point here is, I have always believed in accountability, and now somebody else is holding people to it. I find it only appropriate that I keep myself accountable. And I apologize to Sean Payton and Bo Nix. That's my bad. Congrats on making it in by beating the Chiefs. And I assume 7 to 12 guys that they just pulled out of the stands that happen to have player jerseys on. Because it was a whooping. But of course it was a whooping. It was Carson Wentz and the Chiefs practice squad, basically. All right. NFL playoff bracket is set. We know our wild card round schedule for the weekend, but when we come back, I said something yesterday to a group of the fellas that I said proves to me that rivalries are dead in the NFL. And if they're not, then I've never been more disappointed in my own football team. I'll tell you what I mean by that when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome back. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo with you. Monday. Here on the broadcast. I had said for a very long time that NFL rivalries were fine. They were alive. I got Steelers-Ravens, I got Chiefs-Raiders, I got Saints-Falcons. I've said for a very long time that I thought NFL rivalries were fine. And now, I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced that's the case. And here's why. Yesterday, the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers played. Buccaneers win, they win the NFC South. Buccaneers lose, and the Falcons beat the Panthers. The Falcons win the South. So that game mattered. At least at the time, that game mattered. Actually, I mean, it still would have mattered had the Falcons beat the Panthers, but they didn't because Bryce Young became the youngest quarterback in NFL history to throw for three and run for a pair of touchdowns. My goodness, I thought he was short. But we'll circle back around to that. Tampa Bay and New Orleans play a game that Tampa doesn't pull away from the Saints until the last handful of minutes. In fact, Spencer Rattler and the Saints led for a majority of that game. But Tampa Bay late in the game, they get a couple of spots. They're finally able to get to Rattler and rattle him. They created a couple of spots. They take the lead. They hang on to the lead. Tampa Bay's clearly going to win this game. You get to the final possession. It's fourth down. New Orleans cannot score. Tampa gets the ball back. All they've got to do is take a knee and win the game. But wide receiver Mike Evans, who has been, and I mean this, as both a compliment and a note of my absolute frustration, a pain in the ass to the New Orleans Saints for 11 consecutive seasons now, he has been an issue. In fact, if you've paid attention to this NFC South rivalry, you know that Mike Evans and various members of the New Orleans Saints, up until he was traded to the Washington Commanders this year, Marshawn Lattimore, the former Ohio State Buckeye, was one of them, have gotten into multiple legitimate fist fights. Multiple legitimate fist fights. So Mike has been like the definition of a pain in the ass to the New Orleans Saints for 11 years. Well, yesterday when Tampa got the ball back with less than a minute left to play, he was 5 yards away from 1,000 yards. Which meant two things. Number one, he would put together the second most consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. He is three behind only Jerry Rice. And number two, Mike Evans had a $3 million bonus on the line if he got to 1,000 yards. Now, here's what I want to get to. Rivalries are dead in the NFL to me. And there's two reasons why. And they both center around my team. But that's what I want to talk about, so deal with it. Last year, at the end of the year, you all will remember when the Saints beat the Atlanta Falcons in their crib. At the end of the game, the Saints took over on downs inside of the Falcons' red zone. And Dennis Allen, the coach at the time, told Jameis Winston and the crew to take a knee. But the offense went out there, and they called their own play to give Jamal Williams, the backup running back, who was a player and fan favorite, his only rushing touchdown on the year. They're like, let's get this cat in the end zone. So they ran it right off guard, right down Atlanta's throat, and let Jamal score a touchdown. And Dennis Allen came out after the game was over when there was a conversation about the concept of running up the score. Dennis Allen came out and apologized to the Atlanta Falcons. That was, and this isn't a joke, this isn't hyperbole, this isn't me being funny. Lonzo, that was the moment I want his ass fired. Right there. No. Do not apologize to my rival for sticking it in the end zone again. If you don't want us to score a touchdown, maybe get the ball out of the red zone. Maybe get it away from the end zone and don't turn it over 4 yards away from pay dirt. Maybe play. But they didn't. They gave us the ball. We scored a touchdown with time on the clock. Bleep them. That's the rival. Dennis Allen came out and apologized. That was, and this is not a joke, that was the second that I was ready to fire Dennis Allen. I was already in that direction, but that was the moment I went, no, this guy's weak. I don't want this guy there anymore. And then this. Tell me, Zoe, if this is going too far as a rival. If I'm New Orleans, I know Mike Evans is 5 yards away from a 1,000-yard season, a $3 million paycheck, and putting together the second longest streak of 1,000-yard seasons in NFL history behind only the legendary Jerry Rice. The minute that Tampa comes up to the ball with a 5-wide spread, clearly intending to throw the ball, we know where we're going, right? We're going right to Mike. So what do the Saints do? They line up in a pillow coverage, playing back off the ball, let Baker zip it right over to Mike Evans, who then picks up 7 yards, crosses the 1,000-yard mark, gets his money in the record. Well, not the record, but you know what I mean. Lonzo, if I'm Darren Rizzi, who now is just Coach I because he's got no Riz after that. Riz is what the young people call like aura, like charisma, you know what I mean? So now I'm taking his Riz away. Now he's just Coach I. Tell me if I'm going too far, great one. If I see them line up, I'm telling every one of my defensive backs, all 5 of you go cover Mike Evans. All five of you. I don't care if Baker Mayfield walks in another touchdown around the right side. I don't care. We've already lost. We can't get the ball back. It's game over. The L's on the books. There's nothing left to do but let the last few seconds tick off. If rivalries aren't dead in the NFL, if I am the head coach of the Saints, am putting 5 defensive backs on Mike Evans. I'm going jam his ass at the line, drive him 15 yards the wrong way. Do not let him touch that football. Do not let him get 1,000 yards. I don't care if they score a touchdown and we go dead. I don't care. Do not let him get that 5 yards. I want everyone wearing a number lower than 70 to be standing in Mike's face. Do not let him, don't even give Baker the option to throw him the ball. And if Baker spikes the ball or takes a knee, when we line up, do it again. 7 men in his face. I don't care if Baker walks in a touchdown. That's what a damn rivalry is supposed to be. And instead, we play soft-ass pillow coverage and just let him have the mark. Bleep that.
Yeah, I did. I think most of the guys, or a lot of the guys in the NFL, it's just about being businessmen, and they know that the businessman across from them is about to get paid, so they make sure that guy gets paid. I mean, you never know. That guy might be on your team next year.
Well, Mike Evans won't be a Saint. I can go ahead and guarantee you that. But the point here is I'm now convinced NFL rivalries are dead. I am. Now, I'm not saying that's good or bad or whatever. That's up to you subjectively, whether you think that's good, bad, ugly, indifferent, whatever. But I'm convinced NFL rivalries are dead. They don't exist anymore. Because if that was a, and that would have been a rival, but if that was a rivalry, If there was a, if I had to rank New Orleans Saints rivalries, number one is the Falcons, number two is the Bucks. Sorry, Carolina, you're checking in maybe third. Maybe. If I'm a Saints fan, and I am, I'm putting Atlanta 1, Tampa 2. And if I'm ranking players that are a rival, Mike Evans is number one. He is not. He is the number one rival of this team. And so, to me, if Cat needs 5 yards, no. I'm putting 7 guys on his face, and I'm stopping him from getting it. It's going to cost him $3 million. I don't care. I don't care. That dude has been in multiple fist fights with multiple of my players over multiple years. I don't care. That seems like a him problem. You could have, you had 16 other games to pick up those 5 yards and you failed to do it. That's on you, bro. Absolutely no chance. Absolutely no chance. Rivalries are dead. So here's what I want. I want you to text the show, 844-326-3663. Poll question of the day, and it's a very simple one. Are NFL rivalries dead? Text 844-326-3663. Yes, if you believe they are dead. No, if you believe they are not dead. Or maybe if you think there is like one legitimate, maybe two legitimate rivalries left. And if you do, text the maybe and the rivalry. 844-326-3663. Are NFL rivalries dead? Text yes, text no, or text maybe, and the rivalry you think is still alive. Let's take a break. Back after this, we'll get your thoughts on that. The phone line's open. It's the same number, 844-326-3663. All that and more coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. FANFONE. That is the text line. Our text poll of the day is this. Are NFL rivalries dead? Text yes, text no, or text maybe, and include an NFL rivalry that is still alive. If you think there's, like one or two, maybe. If you think there's three or four, then no, you think that they're alive. But if you think there's like one good rivalry or two good rivalries left, text maybe, and put your rivalry into the text poll. 844-326-3663. Are NFL rivalries dead? Text yes, no, or maybe, and include the rivalry. I say yes, and they died for me over the last year. Last year when Dennis Allen, the head coach of the former head coach of the New Orleans Saints, thankfully, apologized to the Atlanta Falcons for scoring. And then yesterday when Mike Evans was just allowed to cross the 1,000-yard mark instead of having 7 Saints defenders beating him up from the snap and preventing him from getting there, which would have been the ultimate heel move, and I'd have been all over
it. You know, looking at how the Saints season has played out, you could have had all those defenders on there and he still would have got the yards.
I mean, maybe. But I'd take the shot. I'd take the risk.
There's a reason why he was going for 1,000.
I would take the risk. Texter said, who cares? NFL is boring and entertainment is evidenced by the scratch my back mentality and allowing whatever feels good. Give me the CFP any day. Pure unadulterated hate and rivalry. 24/7 BTW. Go Irish.
That's funny. No. It's still funny. It's good to know that the college people are still out there. But whatever you think college football is, it won't be that.
You don't think rivalries are better at college?
I think they only exist in college. I don't think they ever really existed in the NFL.
I think they used to exist in the NFL. And for the record, I think it was like a long time ago. I'm not talking about in the last 10. I'm talking about like back in the day. I think there were legitimate NFL rivalries. And I think there are still some teams who like to hit each other. I think, I assume Cleveland and Cincinnati get at it. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, I know they bring a little extra juice. But I just don't know that it has the... Here's my thought. If your rivalry exists, kickoff to final whistle, that's not a rivalry, right? If you hate them from the kickoff to the final whistle and that's it, that's not a rivalry. That's just an opponent that you don't like. Rivalry is, I'm thinking about you 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 20 days before the game, and I'm either bragging to your face or avoiding your face for the 365 days until we get together and do it again. Right? That's a rivalry. That's a rivalry. All right. We got somebody on the phone. Who we got, Lonzo? Because I still don't have my stuff.
Kevin.
Kevin! Welcome in, big dog. Good to have you back, brother.
Hey, man. Happy New Year. All that good stuff, man. Going ham in the rain this morning, man.
In the rain at 9 a.m. Oh, dude. I'm not going to lie to you, Kev. I walked out of my house at like 4:07 this morning, and I was ready to hit somebody, and not in like the fun football way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Listen, anytime rain come down, we can just go out in the yard and play backyard football just so I can stick me somebody and we can slide across the grass.
Nope. Kev, NFL, college, backyard football, you can keep your cold-ass rain to yourself, fella.
Oh, man. See, you just explained it. That's why football is soft now. Don't nobody play backyard ball no more. In the rain, in the snow.
Time out, Kevin.
By the way, I agree with Kevin. You can time out all you want. You are light, lame, whatever, not wanting to play in the weather.
No. Let's go hang out, do the show outside right now. Let's be tough, Lonzo. Let's go do the show outside. Go set up a Comrex.
Let's go. Let's go set up a Comrex.
No, I'm not going outside. This is you being big tough boy, not me.
No. Hey, man, we can't go outside and have a show. But if I tell you what, tell me I can't guard you or something like that and watch we go out there in the rain and suit up and do what we got to do real quick.
Look, Kevin calling out the 40-year-old overweight white guy like that. Come on, man. You know.
Hey, man, listen. ever since you dropped under 200, man, you've been
Kevin, the guy, last man. Time I was under 200, I was in seventh grade, bro. Relax.
Hey, I like it, though. But, hey, check this out. Rivalries are dead, bro. They're dead. Like you say, if I know Mike got 5 yards to get this 1,000 yards, I tell you what, I'm Goldberg spiking him as soon as the ball.
Oh, snapped. Hell yeah. Hell
listen,
yeah.
Bro, as that ball snapped, I'm breaking ribs. Like, don't guard nobody. Go stick him. He not getting that. Like, I'll never forget. And I was probably in high school then. And this is like late 90s. A guy needed 16 yards to get 1,000 yards in the first 5 games of the season. We were his 5th game. Guess what he ended the game with?
999.
27 carries for negative 30 yards.
Look,
bro, we're not playing that game. Like, you don't come here telling – you think you're going to get your yards on my field? No, bro, that's not going down. Even if it's your field, it's just a part of competition.
I'm gonna say this, Kev. This is how it works for me. As somebody who is an NFL fan, as a New Orleans Saints fan, rivalries are not dead. They should be treated as alive. I think the game would be better if they were. At the end of the day, I understand that it's real easy to say that when me and Lonzo are sitting here and we're only making like $1.2 million a year to do this versus Mike Evan that's got $3 million on the line. And, you know, if you're on the other side of the ball, you're a defensive back and you know, who's to say that next year you're not in a spot where one more tackle nets you $3 million and the Buccaneers go, cool, we're never going to your side of the field because you stopped Mike. Whatever. Like, to me, if you're not willing to go above that, to go above incentives and payouts and looking after other guys and yada, 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 then it ain't a rivalry. And rivalries are dead, however the fans feel about it. I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm walking down the street and I see a Falcons fan, I'm going to tell him I think he's dirty and gross. All right, I'm going to tell him I think he's a snitch and he's dirty. Because I am going to hold on to that grudge for as long as I live as a Saints fan. But they're dead in the NFL, and frankly, I think the NFL's worse for it. That being said, there's so much money on the line for these guys, I understand it.
And it's a lot of money on the line, right? But at the same time, I'm looking at it like, I know I got some change in the bank over there from the other team, but he's not going to just get a free $3 million on my clock. I want them 3.
Yep.
So maybe if I stop him from getting his last 5 yards, I might get another little check because I stopped him from doing it.
Yep.
That's how I'm looking at it.
Kevin, good to talk to you, big dog. Thanks for checking back in, brother. Let's do it again soon. My man Kev going ham at 9 a.m., except at 6:45. I don't want rivalries to be dead. I don't. I think the NFL would be better if we had old school rivalries. I think all sports would be better if we had old school rivalries. What makes college football fun? What makes, and I'll say fun, and then I will go one step further to say what makes many, maybe most of y'all listening have the take that college football is better than the NFL is the rivalry, or at least the attitude and the spirit or whatever that generates that rivalry, which, again, I think NFL fans, by and large, we all have that team that we can't stand. For Lonzo, it's the Broncos. I can't imagine Lonzo had any, even knowing you were losing that game yesterday, had any semblance of fun watching your backups get it hammered to you by 70.
I made it through part of the third quarter, and I'm like, I'm out of here.
Even when you could look them in the face and go, you understand we're letting you win because we have the one seed in the bye locked up, and we got that 3 weeks ago. Maybe chill out. It's still not fun.
Although I did enjoy the fact that Sean Payton was doing such a good job when you don't like him. I mean, that's the only pleasure that I got out of it.
Again, do not confuse criticize with dislike.
Come on.
All right? Those are different things.
Come on.
I don't have any. I have nothing but apathy toward Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. Nothing but apathy.
That's why you hide your eyes so people can't see.
Yes, that's why. And not because I just look like a complete and total badass with these glasses on.
Okay.
Which is the real reason.
All right.
I think the...
It doesn't go well with the hipster look, though. I mean, yeah, you got to find some hipster sunglasses.
Flannel isn't hipster.
Yes, it is.
No.
Yes, it
flannel is.
Is
part of the hipster uniform, but it is not the hipster uniform. I want you to tell every lumberjack in Canada they're a hipster.
Yeah, you ain't cut down any trees since last year, but still. I mean, Helene caused people to cut a lot of trees
down. I got our Christmas tree this year.
Oh, you went and cut it down yourself.
Yeah. That's our thing. Any year we're staying here for Christmas, we go get our own tree.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's Mardi Gras tree. We put the Mardi Gras tree up.
Did you sojourn through the snow and the mountains to find that perfect tree?
No, I didn't go that hard. I didn't have my flannel with me. I think the NFL would be better if we had those rivalries back. But again, I think that at the end of the day, when there's that, it's the same thing.
There's only one team with that mentality in the entire NFL, and that's the Detroit Lions. That's it. Everybody else is business. Detroit Lions have that old school mentality.
I do wonder if that's going to change. I do wonder if more teams. And here's the thing, because last night, the Detroit Lions beat the hell out of the Vikings. And the Vikings are the other team, I would say, like, what an interesting, unique culture that Kevin O'Connell has built. But that culture got their asses whipped last night by the Detroit Lions because the Detroit Lions were out there trying to bite kneecaps. Right? So I do think that the NFL would definitively be better if we could capture that old school mentality where teams hated each other. But here's the other part of it. When these players jump team to team via free agency, again, I don't care. Doesn't bother me that much. I pull for the team, not the guys on it. Okay? When players jump free agency periods like that, they're not going to build up a rivalry. Because they're on a team for, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, then they're on to the next team. There's not that time to build that hatred, or at least not any deeper than surface level. But at the end of the day, to me, rivalries live with us. Rivalries live with the fans. The heat and passion of a rivalry comes from us. We project that onto the teams, and then if you do it right, the players pick up on that, right? Dabo and Shano slap hands and say what up and bro hug out at the 50 every game. How many of y'all on game day are doing that? Very few, right? That's the rivalry lives with us, but I do think it would be, I think it would be better if we could capture that mentality. What's the talking point today, great one? If on that Tampa Bay first down, New Orleans really did genuinely put 6 DBs on Mike Evans. Just straight up. We don't care if anybody else scores. Y'all can have a free trip to the end zone. We will give you 7 because the game's over. We don't care.
That's exactly what would have happened. Baker would have went, okay, 4 guys are open over here.
Don't matter.
Okay.
Don't matter. The only reason they threw that, they're up 8 or whatever it was with seconds left. We can't win that game. We can't. You can't win that game. So the only reason to run a play was to give Mike Evans a touchdown. There's no other reason to run a play. We're out of timeouts. We can't get the ball back. You take a knee twice, it's ball game. But instead, They ran a play, and everybody, not in the stadium, everybody in America knew where that ball was going. There is only one guy we're running this play for, and it's Mike. He's the only guy we're running that play for. If I'm Darren Rizzi, who is now just Coach I, because he's got no Riz, a guy I have kind of liked all year long, despite us sucking. I'm like, all right, we suck, but like Rizzi's got that Riz. I'm good. And right, not gone. It's gone. He's just Coach I now. The fact that he did not look
he
that
defense.
He probably
is gone, but anyway.
They're talking about he might stay on board as an assistant, but I mean, if they don't give him the head coaching job, he's gone. If I'm Riz, I'm looking at the defense. I'm pointing at every single person out there whose number is 59 or below, and I'm going, go get in front of Mike's ass, and I want you to wreck him on the snap. I want five guys knocking his ass in the dirt the second Baker touches the football. I mean, that I want him in the dirt. You do not give him those five. He is ending this year on 995, or I'm cutting everybody on this defense. Just like that.
Cutting as in releasing, not cutting.
Correct.
As, okay. All right.
But maybe that one too. Dude, I am generating the biggest rivalry moment in the history of the NFL. I'm putting five guys on Mike and going, you're not getting it. I don't care what y'all do. You're not getting it. It's not happening. And if you put Mike in a stack with another wide receiver blocking in front of him, I'll add two more. We're running both over. Freight training that guy.
You would
guy.
Have a different kind of anger if they actually did that and he still got the five.
Yes, I would. But I'd rather have tried it and stopped it than just give it. We just gave it to him. Screw that, dude. I mean, screw that, comma, dude. Not, I mean, yeah, I guess screw that, dude. Like, that dude has been a pain to this organization for 11 years. He has trash-talked and cheap-shotted and got in your face and punched players on the sideline, and you just let him have that?
Is he going to the Hall of Fame?
Mike Evans? Oh, yeah, for sure. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
I hope he thanks Saints fans.
Honestly, like... When they put his exhibit in, I'm assuming the picture behind him is going to be when he cheap shot at Marshawn Lattimore on the sideline. Like, stop. Go get that dude. Don't let him have it. Break that record. Break that streak. Take him out of the record book quest for Jerry Rice. Now he's still in it because of us. I got a problem. Texter said, why? Still asking why. No answer why. They did not just give it to him. They were playing 5 yards off the line coverage. He needed 5 yards. If he needed like 22 yards, then your argument's good. He needed 5 yards, and you're playing off-ball coverage?
Last I checked, he's kind of a large man, isn't he?
Yeah, you probably, put 5 on him!
No, you play off that guy because your DB is probably a little bit smaller.
5 yards! He's not gonna, he needed 5
he's not
yards!
Come up and try to bump him or
five
something.
5 yards! Put a helmet between the numbers and knock his bleep in the dirt. What are we doing?
Apparently that didn't work because he ended up with 1,000 yards. I mean, so nobody could do that.
He only had like 65 in the game. Like, he didn't go.
No, what
off.
I mean, overall in the season, apparently people must have tried that and it
didn't work.
I don't
care about weeks 1 through 17. They were running a play specifically for no one else but him. You know where the ball's going. It goes anywhere else. Who the hell cares? Stop it.
I appreciate your passion for your team.
Texter said,
you had nothing to play for.
Texter said, dude, now you're just making stuff up. What am I making up? What am I making up? You know where the ball's going. He was just there. Texter said, you're contradicting yourself. The game matters or it doesn't. You say it didn't matter. So what? And they play a normal defense. Based on your logic, they should have covered Evans for 60 minutes. Furthermore, why do you care so deeply that the guy gets his bag? This is not... Did you listen to me, Texter? It's like you... This is what drives me crazy about like half of you guys listening. It's that you hear what you wanted me to say and not what I said.
Okay, you don't know that that's half. It might be like five people that feel that
way. It's a figure of speech, okay? Mm-hmm, okay. It's a figure of speech. Here is what
Science
I actually
guy,
mean.
I would think you'd want to be more accurate. I'm just saying.
No, so, I'm right.
Okay, all right.
Here is the take, Texter. Listen to what I'm saying and not what you want me to have said. Here's the take. The guy's the biggest pain in the ass on my second biggest rival, and he has been a jackass the entire career. Only in my rivalry game. Only to me. But do not let him have anything. It's just pure hatred from me. This is just pure hate. That's all. This is love when Lonzo provides you with the sports flash.
just a little late. The NFC North and the NFC's number one overall seed belong to the Detroit Lions. Have to go out there and take a breather. 31-9 win over the Minnesota Vikings last night. Detroit capitalized on the kick out of bounds with 15 seconds left in the first half to take a 10-6 lead. And Jahmyr Gibbs, 3 rushing and 1 receiving touchdown night, put Minnesota away. The NFL's Black Monday has arrived. I said Monday. I don't know why. Though one team didn't wait to fire their head coach, the New England Patriots released first-year head coach Gerard Mayo yesterday. The Patriots finished 4-13, but defeated the Bills yesterday 23-16, which surrendered the first overall draft pick. May have been one of the reasons why. Tune in this Wednesday at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Citadel Bulldogs. It's Furman versus the Citadel right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.